Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. You know, we tell you this every week. We come your way every Sunday. Sunday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., Monday mornings at 1 a.m., streaming live at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page. And then we also have podcasts that are all over the place. It's unbelievable. We encourage you to go to our website, richarddugan.com. Podcasts are on the homepage as well as the radio show's page. They're also on SoundCloud, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, Stitcher, and that list is growing. So there may come a day where I'll just say they're on the homepage because the list is too long. But we'll have links and all of that good stuff. So we hope that you will join us here on the program regularly to hear what we're talking about with our guests. We certainly hope that you are informed. We want you to continue that wonderful evolutionary process that we're all on. And we hope that you will do just that. Today is a very interesting day as well because we're encouraging you to support the broadcast if you can do that. If you like what we're doing, you like what you hear on this program, then we ask you to support us if you can. We have a PayPal account that is set up, and if you'd like to support us in that way, we are greatly appreciative. Today we have a very special guest on the program, and I'm going to tell you that this interview was not easy in the setting up. Because every time we seemed to put this thing together, something came along. The last time we had this thing set up, it was for November the 7th, and I was involved in a little vehicular incident. And, well, you know, that's what happens. So I called immediately and said, hey, not going to make it. Let's set up something else. And let's set up another time. And we did that. And guess what? Here we are with my special guest. His name is Mark Edward Pyle, and he has a very interesting story to tell us. He's a scribe, prophet, master self-initiate, and we're going to find out more about what that's all about. Mark, thank you so much for not only joining us on the program, but for staying with us through the months that we've been trying to set this up, I think since, what, last summer?
Since last summer, yeah. Thank you much for having me, Richard. You know, it's an honor and a pleasure to be on your show today. And, you know, I just live by the axiom that things that are meant to be happen, sometimes not easily, but they happen. And today this is happening, so it's meant to be. And I look forward to this conversation and many others as we get to know each other throughout the years.
Now, you have quite a number of, shall we say, modalities that you access as far as, say, providing information for folks. You also have a new book out, and I'd love for you to talk to us about that as well.
Sure.
It's, to me, very interesting that someone of your ilk is what is amazing to me is I've had rabbis on my program.
Yeah.
And I am somewhat aware of the level of extensive education that they go through. With the list of things that you have studied and researched and so forth, I kind of put you in that category because you've really incorporated so many diverse modalities into what you are all about. Mastered self-initiate, soul karma reader, 40 years of study and master level experience with numerology, astrology, card science, standard and tarot, as well as you've perfected your own craft in reading, compiling, and analyzing thousands of people and business individuals, both civil and governmental and so forth. I mean, it's just the list goes on and on and on. What has compelled you to compile this incredible plethora? I mean, it's almost along those lines of one of our guests who studies the Akashic Records, and I think you have your own wing.
Well, to be quite honest, I got my first prophetic vision when I was 8 years old. I kind of figured out at that time that there was something special about me. I really believed that everybody else on the planet was experiencing life the way that I was. And I come to find out real quick when I ran in the house one morning and told my grandmother that the planet Jupiter was talking to me. She told me, okay, son, that sounds good. Just don't tell anybody else outside of this house that that is your experience. I got my first numerology book when I was 10 or 11 years old. I started scratching out the alphabet and the numerical values in the dirt. I really started doing horoscopes when I was in junior high school. Friends of ours, we would get together and read the local horoscope in the newspaper. You know, it's about three sentences. And then I would write a full page for them and seal it in an envelope. And I would tell them, hold this until tomorrow, and then we'll come back and talk about it. The next morning, we'd be meeting, and they'd open it up. And, I mean, I had so many folks who tell me, dude, how'd you know my mother was going to talk to me about homework? And how'd you know we were going to have a car accident? And just the list went on and on and on. I became the kid in my neighborhood that folks were afraid of because they said I knew too much. So along those lines, that's how it started. At 13, my grandfather and I, we had our rites of passage ceremony, and then he turned his mantle over to me. And then from the age of 13 on, I have been a serious esoteric student and practitioner of mastering my craft.
I am mastered self-assessment package that you talk about.
Yes.
Talk to us a little bit about that's interesting.
Okay. I deal with your master self. Most folks don't even realize that you are much more than your Western astrology sun sign. In fact, according to the astrology that I use, most of us in that use Western astrology are not even the sign that has been assigned to us. That is something that the sidereal astrology, based on the moving of the equinoxes and the moving of the universe as it travels, it's not in a fixed position. I was born in 1963 on February 9th. Somebody born in 1964 on the same day is going to have a totally different astrological blueprint than I would, simply because the whole universe has moved in an entire year. So we could not be reading the same horoscopes. So I started to get into what all more was involved in the makeup of us. I really wanted to learn why I did certain things that I did. So I started out with numerology and mastered that and found out what my natural habits and abilities were. And then I got into astrology, and astrology showed me what my personalities, my different personalities and the different ways I reacted to certain things. And then the card sciences showed me how I intuitively reacted and intuitively done some things. So I started to figure out at that point early on that there was much more to me than just a Western astrology, Aquarius sun sign, and I needed to do some serious studying. So that's when my serious study took on a greater magnitude to me. The mastered self-assessment deals with your soul sign. There are seven soul types that each of us are born under one of them. I pull your soul type. I also pull a chart that lets me know what is your karma for this incarnation. I give you my own mastered self numerology assessment, which I tell you what your full name means. I tell you what your first step, what your natural talents and abilities. I tell you how you are physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, intellectually, sexually. I have figured out a way to give everybody their own personalized soul vibe every day. The only way somebody else will read your same soul vibe is that they're born the same exact day and same exact time as you. Other than that, everyone will have their own unique soul vibe. And it really gives the root causes to, you know, why we fly off the handle, why we are why we do some of the things we do, you know, why a person can't be faithful in a relationship, why someone can't be honest when communicating. It really gets down to those why areas in our lives that make much more sense than just the cursory surface view from a Western astrology sun sign.
I mean, and there's so much we can talk about. I want to touch now upon your newest release, Empowering You, Transforming Lives. Tell us about that book and how it came about.
The book was launched Tuesday the 4th. We're still in the period where we're offering it for $1 a piece. So I tell people to run to my website. The announcements and the links are on my website. I was looking for a project for about 2 years to get involved with. I also had a project of my own that's dealing with a 365-day calendar that starts on everybody's birthday. And this project is called Empowering You, Transforming Lives. It's a 365-day anthology of daily inspirational messages. And when the offer came across my email to be a part of this, it just resonated with me so strongly. And I knew that this was going to be the vehicle that I was going to be able to introduce myself and my style to the world. And then on top of this, I will come back with my own book, which will be published on April 17th.
Mm. You also have focused thoughts for your expansion and empowerment of your mind. One of the things that I find interesting, and again, we're kind of running through some of these things that you're working on, and we want to do that. But talk to us, it sounds a little bit like the book, and for that matter, is along these same kinds of lines of focused thoughts. That's a tough one for a lot of us because we have a lot of difficulty sometimes staying focused, and we allow ourselves to be distracted by so much, and certainly our technology is right there in the forefront, certainly. But at the same time, and I've talked about this on this program before, that it's not that hard to do. It doesn't take a lot of discipline, to be honest with you. I removed all the news feeds. I turned off all the notifications with the exception of, I think, three.
Right.
Because I need to stay connected as far as texts if something happens at the station I work for and so forth. But let's talk a little bit about these focused thoughts for your expansion and empowerment of your mind.
Okay. The focused thought, that is the series that I am introducing every 11 days. I come out with a focused thought or some different main theme. And I also come out with a daily affirmation. The focus thought, we as human beings, we waste so much of our cosmic soul energy through the emotions of our minds. And let me explain what I mean by that. I used to be one of those athletic stats guys. I mean, I was really bad with it. I could tell you Ken Griffey Jr.'s lifetime batting average. I could tell you the Los Angeles Lakers winning percentage from 1965 to 1985. I mean, I could just pull these stats. I was a walking trivia pursuit guy. Political, anything, you name it, I had my emotions invested in protecting this knowledge. I used to be a Los Angeles Laker fan, and I would ebb and flow with them. And if they got off to a bad start, it would bother me. And I would get in conversations, useless conversations about who's the greatest this or who's the greatest that. When I was able to become more mental and less ego-motional, that's a word that I made up, ego-motional, because the ego drives our emotions. When I was able to not be concerned with who the president was, not be concerned with what the speed limit was or what the price of gasoline was, and not get all bent out of shape because it went up 10 cents overnight, and really started to focus my thoughts on only those things that serve my highest good and are helping me manifest my master self goals and desires, my whole life and lifestyle changed. Taking on this practice of the focused thought and doing the breathing exercises and all those things, it really helped me to get out of the mundaneness of everyday life, rise above, still be able to come through and do the things that I needed to do with less stress, less anxiety. I started sleeping better. I had a better disposition. Just being able to focus my thoughts on only those things that concern me and my highest good made all the difference in the world on my road to recovery. And I know it's going to make all the difference in the world to anybody else that gets a chance to get involved with it.
Well, I know that it is a challenge. I remember back in 2016, I was staying as far away from politics as I possibly could. But something happened in September of 2016 that sucked me in. And it took me 6 months to, as I use the phrase, get me unsucked.
Right.
And then I had to go through another phase where I had to acknowledge. And again, these words were very difficult to say. I had to say them out loud. Thank you, teacher, for showing me how I don't want to behave. And then a few months later, I reached another phase where I said, I forgive you, and now I forgive myself for allowing myself to be drawn into that whole mess. And that's actually made a difference. And as I said, I've turned all the news feeds off, turned off the notifications and so forth. And it is a conscious effort that we have to make in order to stay on our path.
It is. It really is.
And I would like to have you share with us again some of the methods that obviously you have used, and now you share with others that have helped you to stay focused. I don't know how much television you watch. Probably none. Newspapers, magazines, internet information, that kind of thing. I'll put it this way. How disconnected, shall we say, how disconnected from the mainstream are you these days that helps you to stay focused?
Well, Richard, I can honestly tell you that I do not have a cable subscription. I have not watched network television news programming or any other programming, with the exception of a couple of football games and a couple of basketball games. In 3 years, I got so sick of, and 2016 really was the straw on the last straw on the camel's back. I had already stopped watching, but I was staying at a person's house for about 2 months, and they were sucked into the whole Hillary and Donald thing. And yeah, that let me know, just being around them for the little bit of time that I was and being exposed a little bit to that, let me know that I made the right decision. I could not tell you what really is going on politically in Washington, D.C., because it doesn't really affect me. When I figured out that everything that goes on at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue really doesn't affect my overall experience, I was really able to let it all go. I do more reading. I read probably 5 to 7 books a month. I read a lot of articles, newspaper, magazine, and on the internet. Now, I am connected through the internet, and I do have Facebook and LinkedIn, but those are strictly for networking for the spiritual work that I'm doing now. I don't even get in the back and forth conversations with my own children on Facebook when they're having conversations. I just hit a like button and keep on going, because it's you really can get sucked into the rabbit hole, as you say. And for some people can never get out of it once they get sucked into it. So, and again, it's a waste of our emotional energy.
Yeah.
That's where we lose. The reason why most of us are tired, the reason why most of us are having nagging ailments, is because of the wasting of emotional energy into areas that have no benefit to us physically, mentally, or spiritually.
I couldn't agree with you more. I had a friend of mine who actually, this was just his theory. I I didn't necessarily buy into it because I thought it was a little far out, but he may not be wrong because we just don't know. We don't know any more than we know that there is an afterlife. For all we know, in spite of the work that you and I are both doing, at the time when we depart from this body, it could be just lights out and that's it.
It could be.
You know, but he says that... And this deals with alien influence. He says that the reason why some of these things happen is just to crank up the emotions, because it's that energy that these entities use to power their world. So in other words, we are actually power plants when we get all emotional and all wound up over stuff that keeps another civilization going. And I find that really, it's like... I don't like that idea, but by the same token, who's to say that's not the case? So
I have heard others hint to similar types of theories that the commotion and the chaos that goes on in planet Earth and in the universe is fuel for some other universe, just like some other universe's chaos is fuel for us.
Yeah, it's an interesting theory. I have absolutely no evidence to back it up.
For right now, sounds good to me.
It sounds plausible. It certainly does. Let's talk about the spiritual work that you do, and you can start anywhere you'd like. If someone comes to you, I'm dealing with, I'm dealing with the fact that I got sucked into this thing and I can't seem to find my way out. Mark, can you help me? Because I know what my life's purpose is, but somehow I've gotten off the rails somewhere and I want to get back on and start doing the work that I was put here to do.
Good. Well, first, I would definitely start with a mastered self assessment that the full whole life natal chart, whole life card report, mastered self numerology report, and a couple of other reports that I write out by hand. And once we get all of those charts read and analyzed by the other person, and I purposefully ask them to jot down 16 questions, causes, or concerns that they have after they've read through it, because then that does two things. It lets me know that, one, they were serious and that they read through everything, and two, that they really want the help that is going to come next. Once we get to the analytical portion, we go straight to the root causes. So, for instance, if it's somebody who wants to know why they are caught up in the emotional carriages of the world, I would look at, see what their Mars influences are. I would look and see what their card influences are. And then I would read their karma from the past two incarnations, because that will give me insight into everything that they're dealing with on this side. Once we get all of those things analyzed and dissected, then we come up with a plan of affirmations and mind empowering exercises. And every one of the plans is an 88-day plan. There is no easy way to get from where they are when they get to me to fixed, because everybody wants to be fixed, and there's no quick fix. There's no pill. There's no, I can't say a magic word and snap my fingers and then you're done. I explain to folks that the issues that are built up inside of you were built by a master builder, yourself. So you're going to have to tear them down and build up new issues, the issues that are going to benefit you. And it takes 88 days, 11 days of affirmation that I have written specifically for any portion of the beginning of the awakening. And then every 11 days after that, we have different assignments and different affirmations and different, like, focused thought and mental clarity, and it's a whole curriculum that we go through. And in the 88 days, you're building up your psychic, your cosmic and psychic energy, soul energy, so that you will have it stored inside of you and able to recall at a moment's notice. And you'll be able to recall it in those moments where you tend to get emotional or you tend to get angry. We are in 88 days, we will take all your anger issues, all your emotional issues, all your self-esteem issues, all of the issues that you come with, and we will turn them all around into positivity in 88 days. Mm-hmm. That's guaranteed, or your money back.
Why 88 days?
88 days is 88 is the master number of mastership and discipleship. It is also in a couple of practitioners and theories that have been promulgated throughout the world before. There are 88 steps from initial awakening until you hit ascended master, and then you do not have to reincarnate in 3D anymore. There are also 88 keys on a piano, and the piano is the perfect musical instrument in 3D. So 88 is very, very significant. You do anything 88, 90 days in a row, and it becomes a permanent part of your life and lifestyle.
Mm. You've also been through quite a bit. I find it interesting that, and unfortunately it's becoming more and more commonplace, but you yourself dealt with this particular thing back in 2009. I had a very dear friend who passed away in September of 2018 from what originally was colon cancer. And he, being Rastafarian, didn't believe in doctors. So it was not until March of 2018 when apparently he doubled over in pain and his wife took him to the hospital. Yep. And they diagnosed it, but unfortunately it had also spread to lung cancer, and he passed in September. And you dealt with something similar in as far as the colon cancer. My wife had fallopian tube cancer back in 2001, has been fine ever since. Yes. But it seems as though this has now become almost mainstream, that it's like if you haven't had it, you absolutely certainly know more than one person in your circle who has either had it and overcome it, or had it and died from it. I'm curious, from your prophetic gift, do you have any insight as to what in the world is going on?
Well, I believe, and this has nothing to do with prophecy, this is just common sense, I believe that the instances of cancer and the instances of Ebola and the instances of all of these new diseases, I believe that we have two main causes of most of what is ailing the world. Number one is Big Pharma. Okay. And number two is Monsanto.
Mm.
I believe that because, you know, when I was a kid, you know, you could go out in the, you know, I grew up on a farm. We had peaches and all kinds of things in our yard, and I can go outside and pick a peach off of my tree and wash it in the hose and eat it. And, you know, there was nothing that happened. None of us had peanut allergies. None of us. I mean, come on. And when Monsanto got into the agribusiness years ago, you know, Roundup, how many of us have been firebombed with Roundup in fields? You know, like I said, I grew up in an agricultural area, so we used to see the crop dusters come over and they were spraying malathion and Roundup, and all this stuff is in our soil now. There are no original seeds that the farmers are growing food with anymore. You have to buy your seeds from Monsanto, and they've genetically engineered everything. I believe that along with the diet that I had and some medications that they misdiagnosed me and had me taking, stress and anxiety and unfocused thought all contributed to my colon cancer diagnosis in 2009.
I know that when organic food became the norm, it started coming on the market, and this goes back maybe 10, 15, almost 20 years ago for me.
Yeah.
I balked at it because I believe this even more so today, and there have been actually cases, court cases that have borne this out. You know, people can slap a label on anything and call it whatever they want.
Exactly.
I mean, they can take an ear of corn and say it's a watermelon.
Exactly.
And if you believe that label, then fine, more power to you. But I also am a Reiki master, and I also know that it is possible to, you know, you can Reiki your food, and hopefully you can cleanse it in some fashion.
Yes.
But I also believe a couple of other things that, you know, I've been taken to task on. One of them is, what difference does it make? It's all energy. That's what science tells us. Everything is energy.
Yes.
My father, not a scientist, but had some wise sage advice. He said, eat, drink, and be merry in moderation, because nobody gets out of this world alive.
That's right.
So,
very wise man.
So it's like, why are we so concerned? And again, you and I, and what's amazing to me is, in spite of, or maybe because of, all of these issues that you've dealt with over the last decade or two, in particular, here you are, you're doing all of this incredible spiritual work, helping people to move forward in their lives. Here we are, you and I chatting. So I'm glad that, you know, you didn't succumb, your body did not succumb to those cells that are just pernicious, if you will.
Yes.
And I have lots of work that I want to do. But at the same time, I sit here and I'll tell you, and I've told this to my wife too. She didn't like to hear it, but I told her. I says, I'm not looking at leaving early, okay? I'm not looking at leaving anytime soon. But if today's my day, I'm good to go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I truly have the attitude of, I've never worried or contemplated death. I've never been afraid of it. I look at it like this. When I check out of here, I check out of here. I didn't have any say-so in coming, and I don't have any say-so in leaving, and I'm going to enjoy the ride every day while I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm not going to worry about death. I'm going to do everything that I have to do to make sure I live the most optimal life and lifestyle that I possibly can. And, I make healthy and conscious choices because of the lifestyle that I choose to live. But I'm not going to be concerned about the every jot and tittle of things. I have to believe that the energy that I'm aligned with is of the good and highest side, and that everything that I'm purposed to do will come to pass. And I look at the colon cancer diagnosis, and the recovery was the time for the ancestors to get my full attention and let me know that I was done with the corporate lifestyle, and that I was being called to do this thing that I do now, which I knew I was supposed to do at the age of 13.
We're talking with Mark Edward Pyle. We're talking about the work that he is doing, especially in this whole arena in reference to his mastered self life guidance system, and the latest work that he has put out as far as the work that he is doing. We encourage you to go to his website. I think that you're going to get a kick out of it. I think you're going to learn a great deal from him as well. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. You know what? We'll be right back.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and I'm here with Mark Pyle Edwards, and we're talking. Let's try that one again. Mark Edward Pyle, and we're talking about not only his latest work, which is, of course, empowering you, transforming lives, daily inspiration to help you live on purpose and with purpose. It's not going to do a whole lot of good to live on purpose, live your purpose, if it's not on purpose and with purpose.
Exactly.
I want to ask you about Metatron. Who is Metatron, and what is your relationship?
Archangel Metatron is from Judaism lore. He was, according to Judaism, he was the scribe that had a throne behind God's throne, and he sat behind God's throne, and he wrote down everything that transpired from creation through everything that transpired. So he was known as the scribe of God. In Christianity, he would be equal to Enoch. And I didn't know it was Archangel Metatron that was my homeboy when I was a young kid. But I had a force or an entity. Couldn't see him much, but I would feel his presence and I would hear his voice. I didn't realize at the time that the voice that I was hearing was actually my voice that I'm speaking with you right now. It was my adult voice. But Metatron, I hooked up again with Metatron in 2007, 2008. I was online looking for some spiritual jewelry, and I had just ordered a Star of David. And the Metatron's cube came up next, and it said, people who bought the Star of David looked at this. So I looked at the Metatron's cube the very first time online on the internet, and I lost 2 hours. I don't know what happened. Nobody else was in my apartment. I was just sitting there. I know for a fact it was 2 hours because it was a football game on. It was barely starting when I looked at the cube, and it was the end of the game when I come back to. That was in 2007. So I definitely ordered me one of those. I kept it around me for a while. 2009 came, the colon cancer diagnosis. I was in recovery, pretty much bedridden for a few months, and then it took me a year. I wasn't able to go to work. So I did some more research into Metatron, into Archangel Metatron, and the more I researched, the closer he came to me. It wasn't just the voice. I started to see the outline and the imprint of him. Jump to September 21st, 2012, a very important time cosmically. There were a lot of portals that were open at the time cosmically. And one morning I was up. It was early in the morning and I was shaving. And I looked in the mirror and there was a big blue transformer dude standing behind me, about 16 feet tall. And I squinted my eyes because I thought, you know, I was just up too early. And I looked up at it, and it was my face in Archangel Metatron, the 16 foot tall. And started, he didn't say anything, but he telepathically, his words come into my head. I am you, you are me, we are one together. And about the same time, I started having, after I would meditate and get ready to go to bed at night, I would have the most amazing astral events where Archangel Metatron, Enoch, and Thoth would come and grab me and put me down into a big leather chair, and the four of us, well, the three of them would be talking, and I would just be in an amazement. Initially, it was like that for those meetings, and then after about 6 months, they started to give instruction and exhortation, and they sent me on my way, and that was the beginning of my acceptance and invocation of those three into my spiritual life. And now it's a daily and nightly operation. I talk to them nightly and daily, and get instructions, and sometimes we just sit and laugh, and it's just really a very, very spiritually humbling experience.
What is the most profound experience you've had in your spiritual walk? It sounds like that might be it right there, but is there anything else that really stands out in your life thus far?
In the middle 90s, I was a missionary for a Baptist church, and I was downtown Skid Row, L.A., you know, witnessing the folks, ministering to people, telling them about some good news. And a young man walked up to me, and the night before I had had a dream about a person that came up to me and said, I need your help. I never had seen that person before in the dream, so I just thought it was just something random. Well, that next day I was walking Skid Row, witnessing and ministering to people, And this young man walked right past me. And again, I heard the words, "Help me." And I saw where he was headed for some calamity. I turned around, ran up to him, grabbed him by his jacket just as he was getting ready to step off the curb. The MTA bus ran the light and came straight across the light. And he would have got smashed and hurt really bad if he had stepped off that curb. That was the most profound spiritual thing that ever happened to me. I've preached in churches before, and I've laid hands on people. I've been in the Holy of Holies, as they say, and I've seen some amazing, real things happen. And that was the most profound spiritual thing that has ever happened to me.
You know, I think about the words in the New Testament when the disciples are questioning Jesus about his miracles, and they say, "Hey, can we do this stuff?" And he says, "Sure, but you're going to do greater works than this."
He said, "These things and greater shall you do."
Exactly. And I have to wonder what, you know, it sounds to me, from my own personal experience, it sounds to me like transforming your life and getting your life on track and on purpose is probably one of those greater things, because raising people from the dead, turning water into wine, those kinds of walking on water, that's, you know, from his perspective, that's kid stuff.
that's what he was saying. He was like, "Man, these are parlor tricks compared to what you guys are going to do, man." He said, "This is nothing. You know, withering a tree? Are you kidding? That's nothing. You guys can do that. That's part of the tricks." Right.
Yeah. So I'm curious about your spiritual evolution, because it sounds like you have gone through a number of incredible phases in your life. I as I've shared with you when we've been chatting away prior to this interview, you know, working for a Christian radio station and having that incredible experience and meeting all these different people and even getting into some very fascinating conversations and debates over different, usually it was theology, you know, doctrine and dogma, which is irrelevant, but nonetheless, there you are. And I often found that many of the answers that I was given didn't make any sense to me in my logical brain, you know, and then I was curious as to how these kinds of things are. And so share with us a little bit about that transformation that you've been going through, obviously for, for over 50 years.
Yeah, well, you know, I wasn't one of those kids that was, you know, forced to go to church or had religion forced on me. My grandparents were very, very special in the fact that they allowed me to gravitate to and explore the things that really resonated with my soul. I have always been a spiritual guy. You know, the games that I would play with my friends when we were teenagers and middle school age, we played church, and we played where I was the preacher and they were the congregants. And so I've always had a spiritual tilt to me. It wasn't until my early 30s, after I had come through some wild times, you know, did some wild things in college and some wild things in the military, and then got out of the military and did a few more wild things. And it wasn't until I found myself homeless in Sacramento, California in the late 80s that I really turned the corner and decided that the life and the lifestyle that I wanted to live was going to be based on my spirituality and not on the pressures and the temptations of the earth. So it started in the late 80s, early 90s, and it has been just a progression. My 13 years of preaching in the church had little to do with the total acceptance and belief of the religion. It had more to do with my own seasoning and my own sharpening and helping the people that come into contact with all of those folks that went through the church. I often told folks in 2009, when I got the colon cancer diagnosis, is when I literally graduated from religion. And it's not a knock on anybody's religion. Religion is good for a lot of folks. And I've seen what a belief system in Jesus Christ and others can do for folks individually. At that point, I needed to take back control of my own life, and I was connected with source energy that let me know that this part of my journey was not going to be in a crowd, and it wasn't going to be with a bunch of people, that the rest of my journey was going to be solo, and that I was going to transform into everything that I had always seen in my mind's eye. I always saw myself as the Pied Piper going from town to town with the perfect message for every town, and then I'd stay there a couple of days and then I'd go somewhere else. I don't envision the lifestyle being literally that, but I will be going around from place to place and dropping off spiritual wisdom and spiritual giblets for those folks. And then once that mission is complete, I'll move on to the next mission. I'm not into this building followers. I don't want followers. I want to equip you, introduce you, and equip you with the tools to maintain your mastered self. And wherever your mastered self sends you, that's great with me.
And achieving that mastered self, what does that look like, feel like? What could we expect from achieving that mastered life?
Definitely, you can expect to have your entire lifestyle and your way of life slow down. And I mean that in the best of ways, not in a way that you're going to experience a removal of things or a lack or huge upheavals. Although some people do go through some huge upheavals, the you can expect to have a better disposition. You can expect to have mental acuity, focus, mental recall, and power. You can expect to not to be moved by the minute issues that are designed to get you upset. You can expect to have complete control of your anger, complete control of your ego, complete control of your material wants and desires, and you will be able to now incorporate everything that you do outside of yourself into your lifestyle instead of you fixing and jamming yourself into everything else that's outside of you. You know how we fix ourselves and jam ourselves into the job, and we jam ourselves into social circles, and we jam ourselves into traffic, and we just jam, instead of becoming the cause. When you get equipped with your master self, you now become the cause, and everything outside of you affects to you instead of you affecting to it.
Very interesting. What are some of the, if we can dive into some of this, and I'm not necessarily speaking from the standpoint of trying to predict the future, but what have you seen? What visions have you been given of our future as a species, not just as a people in this country, but globally, because there are a lot of people who are very, very concerned over where things are today. Although I will have to tell you that as I was working for the 15 years I did for the Christian radio station, every time there was an upheaval in the Middle East, all of a sudden the flags went up of, this is the sign of the end times, and it's Armageddon is on its way, and the Antichrist, and on and on and on. I mean, every president for the last 40 years was labeled as the Antichrist.
Right. Well,
any insight that you can share with us?
My wife and I, we get into these conversations and we talk about, you know, the things that are plaguing society, not just America, but all over the society. And you know, we talk about the reconciliation of the people. It is coming. The equality and you know, the clean slate and everybody is equal, and that's coming. But it's going to be about 500 to 700 more years before that influence can be pervasive in the society, because we have too many systems that are still running really strong that have cycles that will go into, you know, the next 200, maybe 300 years that just aren't set up for the masses to come together collectively. There will be a stripping away of the power elite, those that are running the dark states in the various different countries and various different situations. And there will be a total upheaval of the United States political system starting in 2020. The political system and the way that things are have been for all of our life is going to totally get upheaved at 2020. That is a definite. I did predict in early part of 2016, 2 days after Mr. Trump announced that he was in 2015, and when he was running for president, that he was going to win. And I will go out on a limb and say it 2 years ahead of time that Mr. Trump will win re-election in 2020 as well.
Now, this is not necessarily saying you're a supporter. This is information that you're providing, that you're you're receiving.
Yes.
And what's rather interesting is that the whole process was for me anyway, was actually sort of tainted. And again, we won't get into politics here, but I'm a firm believer, and I've shared this many, many times on this program, that words have power.
Yes, they do.
And when he said prior to, in October of 2016, prior to the actual election, that the system was rigged, I said, okay, well, then you can't have it both ways. If you win, it was rigged, and if you lose, it was rigged. So if you won, how did you rig it so that you won? Because then you're not the legitimate leader of the free world because the system was rigged.
Exactly.
And so these are the kinds of dichotomies that I find inconsistent. But by the same token, it's entirely possible that that's going to happen. But as you also said, there's going to be a major upheaval.
But
that's coming.
His winning is what is going to be the harbinger for the upheaval.
Yeah. And I can see that. I can see that. It's going to be very interesting. And I think that the other thing, too, is, as you say, what happens on 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, from my perspective as well, it's irrelevant to me.
It's irrelevant. It really has little to do with my reality and my experience.
There you go.
It really doesn't matter who is occupying that office.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. Because we have to be about taking care of self and then care of the other people that are around us, doing the best we can. And it's just one of those things that we have to come to grips with. This to me is fascinating, and I encourage our listeners to go to the website, which is iamascensions.com. We will be linked, of course, to your website as well, and encourage people to pick up a copy of Empowering You, Transforming Lives. Mark Edward Pyle has been my guest, and we're talking about just a myriad of different things, the work that he is doing, trying to get the word out that, you don't have to stay stuck in the situation that you're in. You find that a lot with people, don't you? That they've gotten stuck. They've got all this wonderful knowledge, per se, but haven't been able to do anything with it, and you help them to get unstuck.
Well, a friend of mine and I were talking the other day, and I told him that the gathering and storing of knowledge is not power. The power comes in practically using that knowledge daily and then sharing that knowledge with the world.
Mm. Yeah. That's the use of it. I remember a few years back, I was working for another company, and they used to talk about how information was power, you know, and as like what you're talking about, it doesn't do any good if you're holding on to it, if you're just gathering it up. I mean, my library is just unbelievably full.
Unbelievable, man. I mean, I just read the entire manual for the Windows 10 operating system.
Oh my gosh.
So on one hand, people would say, oh, well, that's, you have the knowledge. I said, no, I don't have knowledge. I'm just storing a bunch of information until I get into Windows 10 and use it.
So put it to practical use.
Yes, I have to put it to practical use. If not, it's just a bunch of clutter in the top of my head.
Yeah, I've been feeling the same way with the manual for the new vehicle that we purchased. You know, it's like, oh my gosh. And it's a pretty thick manual, but it's not that complicated from the standpoint that, you know, all of these things work pretty simply. You just have to go through and make sure you go through the right sequences and all those kinds of things.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mark Edward Pyle, I want to thank you so much for joining us here on the program and sharing your story and your information. And I'm hoping that people will actually go to IamAscensions.com. Pick up a copy of the book, Empowering You, Transforming Lives. That's the title of the book. We encourage you to do that. Continue your evolutionary process. I want to ask you another question before. I've got three other questions I want to ask you. But this one, you know, you've sort of alluded to it to some degree. But man's humanity's evolutionary process. What do you see as the next stage? This is totally different from what you shared with us about 2020 and the next 300 to 500 years.
Sure. The next stage, the next phase of man's evolutionary journey is going to be towards that unifying and the recognizing of the dual nature that is in both of us. The masculine and the feminine, and it's going to get less gender, less sexual, more mental, less emotional.
Mm. Good deal. That's a good deal. You know, if you ever find yourself out here on the central coast of California, Santa Barbara specifically, we'd love to have you in studio to
Definitely.
Continue this conversation.
The next time that my wife and I are planning to come to Santa Barbara, we got married there in 2011, and it's a very special place for us, 2013. We are planning a trip sometime early in the spring, and I will definitely reach out to you and let you know when I'll be there, and I would love to come in studio and continue talking more with you.
Three final questions that I have for you. The first is, who is Mark Edward Pyle?
Mark Edward Pyle is now I'm a number one best-selling international co-author, Mastered Self Initiate, Scribe Prophet, just an overall nice spiritual guy.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now?
I want to connect everyone that comes in contact with me. I want to connect them with their mastered self. I want to equip them with the tools to be able to hold that vibration. And then I want them to go merrily on their way.
And finally, what is your life's purpose?
My life purpose is to live the best example of a cosmically aligned spiritual master. And it is to show others the exact same way of life.
Mark Edward Pyle, thank you again for joining us here on the program. And just a quick reminder, folks, that the title of that book, Empowering You, Transforming Lives, the website, once again, I Am Ascensions, and that's a .com. After that, we will be linked to that as well. And again, thank you, Mark, for joining us on the program.
Thank you, Richard, for having me. It was my pleasure and honor to be here today.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We are giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love to Lal.